Welcome to the Space Show, Diana.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're at the Ocean Technology Group of the Sydney University.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Ocean Technology Group, Diana?
Well, we're actually a part of the Civil and Mining Engineering Department. Our main research work centres on the detection of waves from satellite-borne instruments, waves from space, basically.
Waves from space?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Waves are only a couple of metres in size. How do you detect waves from space?
The main instrument which we're interested in is one called the Synthetic Aperture Radar. And this is quite an amazing radar because it can get down to those very fine resolutions, detect actually 20 metre waves. And in the open oceans, we usually get waves of about 100, 200 metres long. So 20 metre resolution is actually quite good. And the way it does this is quite a remarkable technique, which is very complicated, and it's still not fully understood. So part of what we're doing is trying to understand fully how the synthetic aperture radar does image those fine waves.
So you have a radar, and it's a radar. What is a radar?
A radar is something which sends out an electromagnetic pulse, well, this one in particular, and then receives it back. And from the return pulse, it can find out all sorts of things. In this case, the height of the waves, the direction in which they're going, that sort of thing.
So you have a satellite then with a radar on it that sends a pulse down to Earth. You get the reflection back.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably receive it in some way and then analyse it.
That's right. The synthetic aperture radar is actually a bit more complicated than that. It obtains its resolution by sending out several pulses to one point, then moving along, then receiving them, and it gets several different returns from the same point but from different positions in space, if you understand that. It's a bit difficult to explain. And that's how it gets its fine resolutions.
So how many satellites have had radar on them?
Synthetic aperture radar? Probably about three or four. The first one went up in 1975, and that was CSAT. That was, in fact, a satellite which was totally devoted to sensing of the oceans, as opposed to previous satellites which had been devoted to land sensing.
Has the shuttle had any radars on it?
Sorry?
Has the shuttle had any radars on it?
Shuttle imaging radar, A, B and C.
And any other satellites since then?
The most recent one is a Japanese ERS-1, Earth Resource Sensing Satellite 1, and also a couple of years ago, ERS-1, European Remote Sensing, Earth Resources Satellite 1. Yeah, so at the moment there's actually two similar satellites up, both with synthetic aperture radars on them.
Oh, great. And are you people using any of that information?
Yes, on the European one we've got a few proposals. We've actually already obtained two magnetic tapes worth of data, one from the synthetic aperture radar and one from the altimeter, which is another satellite instrument. And we've got 9 proposals on the Japanese ERS-1 satellite. We'll hopefully obtain that soon, but there's a slight problem with that satellite.
What's the problem there?
When the satellite goes up, there are several phases of the deployment of the synthetic aperture radar antenna, and it's gone through several of those phases, but it hasn't quite unfolded the last bit. We've heard that they have actually obtained a decent image, but it only works at some angles.
So do we know how they got the antenna unfolded?
No, we're not too sure on that. We just get these vague details on whether it's working or not.
So I suppose you were quite delighted then that you'll soon be getting the data from that as well.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, we're very pleased to hear that.
So what are you going to do with it when you get it?
We've got 9 different proposals. These are quite varied. One of them is to get several tracks over the Southern Ocean and try and detect the movement of storms across the Southern Ocean. We've got several others which have all rushed out of my head now.
Right. Okay. The ERS has another instrument aboard, doesn't it, other than radar?
It's got the altimeter. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. The altimeter works in a similar way. It's an active microwave radar pulse, which means it sends a pulse down to the ocean surface or the land surface and then receives it back at the satellite. It can actually detect 3 things from the information it receives. It can, just by the time that the pulse is taken, it can determine the height of the ocean surface. Also, by the shape of the leading edge of the return pulse, it can determine the wave height. and also making a lot of assumptions, it can detect wind speed, but that's not so well defined.
I believe an earlier satellite than the ERS.
There was one on GSAT. That was launched in 1986 by the US Navy. The first 18 months of GSAT data were actually classified, but after mid-1987 they became available to the general scientific community, and we've actually been doing some work with that GSAT.
And what does that tell you?
My particular work on that has also been on the propagation of storms in the Southern Ocean. The Southern Ocean is a particularly difficult area to study, and it's particularly advantageous to use remote sensing because it's actually one of the roughest oceans in the world. And because of this, there are very few ship routes across the Southern Ocean. The Northern Hemisphere is fine. There's a lot of ships going to and from Europe and America. The Atlantic Ocean can have quite a few actually in situ observations. But for the Southern Ocean, we really need remote sensing to be able to understand it better.
Well, what applications come from all this research that you're doing?
Yeah, well, the main application, I guess, is weather prediction. It was actually shown in the early 1980s that if we have better information on the Southern Ocean, on the pressure field in the Southern Ocean, then we can improve Australia's weather prediction. So that's one application. Another one is shipping and offshore oil industry. It's very important for them to know when there's a big storm coming or when there's big waves coming, so they know when to either sail a different way or whether to evacuate the platform, and that can save quite a large amount of money.
Yes, I was quite impressed looking at your office here. You've got a photograph of a platform of a huge wave just about washing everything away.
Yeah, I think that's down in Bass Strait, where you have these very frequent storms coming every seven, eight days or so, and these storms really are very strong.
You've got on the desk in front of you there a little sticker that says Waves from Space. What does that mean?
Well, that's actually a project which we're carrying out at the moment. We've got a large grant, and its aim is to demonstrate that we can obtain the wave statistics from the satellite in real time. Because what happens at the moment is when we get data from the satellite, it gets sent on a magnetic tape or an optical disc, and we get it several weeks after the actual time of the recording. So what we want to do is be able to send the data straight from the satellite down to ACRS, Alice Springs, send it to Adelaide to be processed, us to be processed more, down to the Met Bureau in Melbourne, then back again, and hopefully that will be used. That can all happen within 4 hours, and it'll still be relevant information by the time it's been processed.
Yes, I could imagine if I was a captain of a ship at sea, I wouldn't want to know what the waves were like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
That's right, yeah, you need them right at the time.
Right now, yes, so I can plot my course.
Mm.
Of course, one of the reasons for wanting to have the wave information is to save fuel and so on, to avoid the rough ocean, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. If you've got a satellite which tells you there's a storm to your right, then just go this way.
Go the other way.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Okay, Diana, well, thank you very much for joining us this evening on the Space Show.
Okay, thank you very much for having me.